We're going to look at the Bible together. I'm going to read a passage from the Bible. And it's a story that Jesus told, and it's found in Luke chapter 15. So just let's look together at the scriptures together. Luke chapter 15. Now in this chapter, we find it's full of lost things. I don't know if you've ever lost anything. I remember when I was a boy, my mother sent me along, when I stayed in Portobello at the time, and my mother sent me along to Musselburgh, to Woolworths at that time. Now, you all remember who Woolworths is, the older ones will anyway. The children might not remember who Woolworths was. Sent me to Woolworths to get a pot of paint. And she gave me a £5 note. Now, back in the 1960s, a £5 note was a lot of money. And I took it out. And I got on the bus, and it was bucketing with rain, and I got to the shop, I went up the shop, and I picked up the pot of paint, and I came back to the cash register, and I put my hand in the pocket to get the money, and there wasn't any money. It was gone. And I went, So the woman said, oh no, I can't give you it without any money. That's quite understandable. And so I went away home. Well, to say my mother was displeased was an understatement of the year. She wasn't happy with me at all. And she said, you get away back out that door and just go and look at the bus stop and see if you've dropped it at the bus stop, because it's either on the bus or it's at the bus stop. So I went away across to the bus stop, and sailing in a puddle at the side of the bus stop was a £5 note. And thankfully nobody else had been passed that way, and so I picked up the £5 note. So it had been lost, and then it was found. Now that's the story of these three occasions. In this particular passage that the Lord Jesus speaks about, he tells three different stories about things that were lost and then they were found. And, you know, I've never been so happy to see a £5 note. Now, knowing being a Scotsman, I'm quite happy to see £5 notes, but I was really happy that day to find that lost £5 note. But the first thing that was lost was a sheep in the early part of the chapter. Then it was a coin. And we're going to read the story, the account in the scriptures of a lost son. A lost son. Now, when you're reading through this with me, I want you to think about this now. I really believe that the Lord Jesus had in his mind particular people. Okay? This is not a story he made up just to suit the circumstances. Because the Lord Jesus didn't tell lies. And to make up a story, really, is just telling lies. And sometimes we all do that, don't we? We make up a story to fit a situation. I don't think the Lord Jesus ever did that. I think he told this story knowing the people who were in it. So that's important, right? Now that tells us something about ourselves, that the God of heaven, when he's looking down upon this world, he knows us all. Each one of us, he knows all about our lives, all about our circumstances, all about the things that bother us and the things that don't bother us. All about our sin. And the Lord Jesus knows it all. So we can't hide anything from him. And these people couldn't hide anything from him. And so we're going to see what it was. Here is the story or the account that Lord Jesus gives of a lost son. And so verse 11 of the chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, and verse 11 said this. And he said, that's the Lord Jesus, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet, a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of his precious holy word. Now, we really believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, that the people who wrote this book, who wrote these words down, they were the person possibly that penned them in the original language, but it was God that was speaking, and God spoke through these individuals. And so Luke is writing this, and he's recording what the Lord Jesus said and what the Lord Jesus did on certain occasions. And so he comes to a particular point in the scriptures, and he's telling us about a certain man. Now, you know, we said at the beginning, this certain man, there was no doubt about it, he was a certain man. He was a real man. And there he was, and he had two sons. And he no doubt had tried to bring them up the best way he could. But there was a problem, because one of his sons wanted away from home. One of them wanted to get away from it all. One of them didn't want to stay in the father's house. Now, when we're reading through and when we're speaking about this, it's quite useful, I think, to try and get the idea that the Lord Jesus, although it was a true story, he was trying to paint a picture for the people who were round about. He was trying to tell them in picture form what they were like themselves. And so we can read the story and we can see a father and a son. And the father in the story is a picture of the God of heaven. And so if you can see tonight as we're reading and we're thinking about this particular account in the scriptures, you can see that when the father is mentioned, it's really a picture of God. And when the son is mentioned, it's really a picture of you and me. Right, so when it's the Father that's spoken about, it's God. When it's the Son that's spoken about, it's you and I. So if you can get an idea of that, it sometimes helps to get an idea of what the Lord Jesus was trying to say and who he was trying to speak to. Because it wasn't just a case of recording a story for posterity, although it is a wonderful story and it's been recorded for all time. Not only that, you know, the Bible, the scriptures are not going to just be here for time, but they'll be there for the whole of eternity. We'll enjoy the scriptures, I'm sure, in eternity. And we'll get to know more about what they really meant in eternity when that comes, when we get to heaven, those of us who are saved and have trusted the Lord Jesus. So, here we have a father, speaks of God. Here we have a son, speaks of us, you and I. And so here we have this father, and he's tried to bring up his sons the best way they can. And the younger son, he decides he's offski. Now, I've got to be careful here because, you know, in our house, I was the youngest son. And so there's a certain bit about this sort of resonates with me because I was just like this boy. I had an older brother and I had older sisters as well, but I was the youngest in the house. And the son, you know, there's a sense in which he was really quite disrespectful. Now, I don't know what it's like in your house. But my father was a very gentle, quiet man. My mother was in the other branch of things. But she didn't like us being disrespectful to my father. We could quite easily have been disrespectful to him, and he probably wouldn't have said very much. But my mother wouldn't take it. She wouldn't allow it to happen. Being disrespectful wasn't a good thing. Now, you know what I'm going to tell you, young folks? It's still the same. Disrespect is not a good thing. It's not a good thing to be disrespectful to your father and mother. But this young man was going to be disrespectful because you know what he says? He says, you know how when you die, Dad, I'm paraphrasing it for you. You know how when you die, you'll leave me half of what you've got in your will? And the father said, yeah, I can understand that. That's what will happen. When I die, you'll get the portion that falls to you. And he says, well, you tell you what, Dad. He says, you want to give me it now? And I'll just go away and enjoy myself. Now, the son never gave it a thought. Not one thought, I'm sure, that his father might well have needed that. Because it wasn't until he died that the portion was going to fall to him. And it may well be there was no portion left then. And the young boy couldn't wait, you see. He says, never mind, Dad. You know, I'm just going to assume that you've died already. I'm just going to assume that you're gone already. Just give me. Give me what's yours. Give me what you're going to give to me then. No matter how long it is, may have been an old man, doesn't he tell us? It just says he was a certain man. It might have been a long time before he was ready to die in the scheme of things. It might have not been a very long time at all. We don't know these things. But this was a very disrespectful young man. And he said, just give me what's mine. And you know, the father was a very gentle man, you know. The father gave up that portion of his goods. He gave up that part of his will, of his inheritance to the young man. He gave him it and let him say, right, okay, if you want it, you have it. And off you go. And the young man gathered it all together and off he went into the far country. Now, the far country speaks really of this world in which we live. It just really is a picture of folks going enjoying themselves, saying to themselves, well, you know, it doesn't matter what my father thinks, Father in heaven, I'm going to go away as far as I can get from my father and I'm going to enjoy life to the full. He's not going to hold me back any longer. He's not going to cramp my style. I'm going to enjoy life and it'll no matter what he thinks. Well, here we are. Remember, this father speaks of our Father in heaven. And this boy, this person here, this young man, speaks of you and me. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but maybe that's the kind of thinking that's in your mind about God. If there's a God there, now, this young man couldn't say if there's a father there because, you know, there wasn't any doubt. He knew who his father was. He said, if you could say if there's a God there, well, I'm not really caring what he's thinking. But I want everything that this world can give. And I'm going to take everything that comes my way and I'm going to take it and I'm going to use it and I'm going to enjoy it. And never mind about what the consequences are. In fact, there are not going to be any consequences. That's the way sometimes we think, isn't it? There are no consequences to our lives and the way we live our lives. Well, I need to tell you tonight, this story, this account in the Word of God tells us about the consequences of living our lives without God. That's really what the picture's all about. It's a picture of living our lives without God and the consequences of that. And it tells us there that this young man went away into the far country and he spent all his money on riotous living. And really, that's just a euphemism for spending it on drink and wine and women and song, that type of thing, you know. Riotous living. Any way you like, spend it all and enjoy life to the full. Well, of course, that sounds like a great idea. And if he was to ask any of his mates, you know, as he got to the far country, he would get a few mates, I would think, because he had a few bob in his pocket. And if he was to ask them, they would say, come on, let's go and spend it. Let's get it spent. Enjoy it while we can. You never know, tomorrow you might be dead. Let's go and spend it. You see, let's enjoy what the world has to offer. And here, we have a picture of a young man, and that may well be a picture of you and I down here in this world. And that's maybe our thinking in respect to the things of God. And the Bible says that he wasted it all. And then the consequences. Because God hadn't forgotten about him, you see. You see, we think if we forget about God, God's bound to forget about us. There's nothing could be further from the truth. Isn't that marvellous now? That God never forgets about you and me. God's always looking. God's always thinking. God's always trying to speak to our hearts and minds. And God speaks to this young man down in the far country. Now, you might not think he's speaking to start with because he uses the circumstances of his life to speak to him. Now, I don't know about you, but it may well be that in this meeting tonight, there's someone and God is speaking to you through the circumstances of your life and you're not listening. That's often the case, you know. That's often the case. You'll hear about individuals and you can just tell that God is trying to speak to them through the circumstances of their life, the difficulties they face, the problems they enter into, the things that come upon them, and God is really trying to speak and they're not listening. I don't know about you tonight, but I need to tell you this young man, God is speaking through circumstances. And here's what it says about him. He went, in verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, you know, unless you know about these young fellows in a Jewish context, because this is a Jewish context, remember, you wouldn't understand how far down this young man had got. Because number one, he spent all his money. Number two, there was a famine where he went. Now, you would think that it's no possible to be a famine. You know, God couldn't he do a thing like that? Is it God that's working here? I tell you, God was working. God was working, and there was a famine in that land. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised, now we don't know this for truth, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if God sent a famine on that land, especially to speak to this young man. I wouldn't be a bit surprised about that at all, if that's what happened. If God's going to speak to you, he'll speak, and he'll use every tool in his toolbox to speak to you. And here's a famine in the land. So he had no money. There was a famine in the land. It's getting worse all the time. And then, because of that famine, it says that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went into the field to feed swine. Now, he's a Jewish boy. And pigs were an unclean animal. The swine, an unclean animal. And to be associated with these animals was possibly the worst thing that could have happened to this young man. In a religious sense, he was at the very rock bottom. But God was speaking. And God was using a field of swine to speak to a young man's heart at a distance from his father. What is it God will have to do to speak to you? Let me ask you the question again now tonight. What is it that God will have to do to speak to you? A way back in the book of Acts, we read there in a story of a man who was in jail, and there was a prison officer, and God wanted to speak to the prison officer. And I need to tell you, he probably wasn't listening. Because the preacher was there, he was in the prison, and he was singing praises. And the prison officer wasn't listening. And it's likely that he'd heard the story of the gospel and he wasn't listening. And God said, I'm going to speak to you. And he sent an earthquake. And it shook the very prison to its foundation in order to speak to a prison officer. Need I ask you the question again tonight? What will God have to do to speak to you in your life? Will God have to shake you to the foundations of your life in order to get your attention in the gospel? Will God have to take you to the lowest point in your life in order to get your attention in the gospel? And here's this young man, and he went into the field to feed swine, and I need to tell you that was the lowest point in his whole life, the very lowest point. And here's what the scripture says, he fain would fill his belly with the husks that the swine would eat. He was eating pig's food. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to keep pigs years ago, and pigs are no clean for a start, but the stuff they eat's definitely no clean. And here he is, and it's a picture of the filth of our lives and sin in our lives, and God is looking down, and God is speaking to this young man. He needs him to come to himself and to come back to his father. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 17, it says this, and when he came to himself, he's sitting in a field of swine, eating swine's food, pig food, and he came to himself, and he said, now listen, in my father's house, there are servants there, and they're far better off than me. Now, I was a son in that house. I was the father's son. And I came out of it, and I'm in the far country. But, you know, I'd be far better off just being one of my father's servants. I wonder if my father would take me back as a servant in his house. You know, if there's a change point in this chapter, if there's a change point in this young man's life, this is exactly where it begins. From one situation at being the very lowest to a point where he says, I'm going to go back. Now, I need to tell you tonight that if you're going to do anything, if God is going to do anything in your life, you'll need to come to the point where you're going to turn around and go back to him. The Bible talks about uses a term called repentance. Repent. Repent. The word repent just means to turn around in your mind and to turn around in your actions and go back to God. That's all it means. A change of mind, which leads to a change of direction. And in these few verses here, verse 17 and 18 and 19, it tells us of a boy that repented. Now, you know, if there's anything that cheers the heart of a preacher, it's to hear the voice of repentance. The scripture tells us, if we'd read in the verses that have gone before, when the sheep was found and the coin was found, there was great joy and gladness at these when that happened. And here's the moment when the joy starts to begin, when a young man turns around and goes back to his father. He says, I will arise and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Now, I need to get to you to this point. These are the most important words in the chapter. The most important words in the chapter. And here's what it says. And here's the voice of the young man in his mind as he's thinking about going back to his father. He says, Father, I have sinned. Now, as we are together tonight, each one of us are sinners before the holy God of heaven. Remember, he's the one who is here and pictured as the Father, and we are pictured as the Son. And so if the Father is listening, and we want to get ourselves sorted out with our Father in heaven, God, you and I, we want to get sorted out with him. We want to be made right with him. We need to say these simple things, and we need to mean it from our heart. Father, I have sinned. Now, that's not just a case of being a kind of ritual. And that's not just a case of saying to ourselves, well, if that's what the preacher says I should do, I should better do it, and I'll just say these words and everything will be all right. That's not what I really mean. What I mean is this, that if you understand before God that you're a sinner, Bible says all have sinned. If you understand that you're a sinner and you want to be made right with God, then you'll need to come to that point where you bring your sin to God and say, Father, I have sinned. That's what it's all about. That's what salvation is all about. That's what repentance is all about. A change of mind which leads to a change of direction. And so the young man's now got a new direction. Instead of going down, he can't go down any further. And he begins to come back up. And he says, I need help. I've sinned. I'm going to go back to my father's house. And he arose and came to his father. Now you'll notice the change of mind, which led to the change of direction. I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. Now, I don't know how far the distance was, but you remember the scripture says this, that he went into a far country. So he had a long way home to go. Now, I don't know how far home you've got to go. Not as far as your home in Kenny is concerned, or your home in wherever it is, Windygates, or wherever about it is you stay. I don't know how far that is. I want to ask you a wee question. How far have you got to go back to get to God? You see, you'll need to pass by all the places you came down, in a sense. Spiritually, you'll need to pass by all the things that you came past and go back to your father. This young man would need to walk that road back. Every way, every step of it, needed to go back to his father. And he arose and came to his father. Now you'll notice there's something in this verse which is heart-rending. Heart-rending, it says there, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here's a father watching out for his son coming home. Here's a man that's in expectation of a day when his son would come home again. What a glorious day it must have been for him when he looked into the distance and it was a great way off, it says. His father saw the son coming and he ran towards him and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Notice the actions of the father. He ran towards him. Here's someone that was stinking of pigs. Here's someone in a sense, in a spiritual sense, who had the stench of the world. And yet God, the picture of God, remember, God is running back, running to him, running to catch him, running to throw his arms around about him and give him a great big hug. I wonder where you are tonight as far as God is concerned. Are you walking back? Have you got to that point? Are you going back to God? Can he see you at a distance coming back? God's just looking. God's just watching. God's just waiting for folks to come back to him. Have you come back? Have you returned to the Father? And here's what the son says. Remember what he had said in his mind he was going to do. I really like this. What he said in his mind, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And notice what he says in verse 21. And the son said unto him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And he never gets any further than that. Father steps in. Never gets any further. God is interested in his heart, you see. God is interested, or the Father is interested in the Son's heart, and God is interested in your heart tonight. He's interested in your heart in relation to him. What are you doing in your heart in relation to him? Are you trying to keep him at a distance? Are you thinking, I'll manage to do this myself? Or are you saying, I'm going back to my Father? And he says, I have sinned, and he did exactly what he said he would do in his heart. So the words of repentance in his heart became real in his life. How remarkable is that? Now I wonder where that young man knew to say that. Where did he get that from? I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Well, I believe his father was a godly man, and he sat his kids down when they were young and he read the scriptures to them. We have the Old Testament scriptures. And he'd be reading through the book of Psalms one night, and we'd come to Psalm 51, and he would hear the story of David after he had sinned. And David said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. These are the words of David. These are the words that David said. It's a good thing to read your Bible, to read the Bible to the wee kids now. Because when they're older, they might just remember when they're in a far country. We don't know what's before the kids. We don't know what lies out there for the children. but if the word of God just comes to them. And I'm sure that's what happened with this young man. The word of God just came to him. And he said, that's how David came back to his Father in heaven. And that's how I'm going to come back to my Father. With exactly the same thought in mind, exactly the same words of heart, and I'm coming back to my Father. But the Father didn't get him get too far down his little spiel that he was going to say. He says, just a minute. He said to the servants, now, you go and get this now. Go and get him a ring. Go and get him a coat. And go and get him a pair of shoes. And bring forth the fatted calf and kill it. What are all these things that he's getting him? Had he got a servant back? Hadn't he got a servant back? Did he want another servant? He didn't want another servant. He wanted his son. God wants us to be sons. We were thinking about that last Sunday morning here in the meeting. There's an awful lot in the scriptures about being the sons of God. And here is a young man, and he came back to his Father. And if you tonight repent of your sin and come back to the Father which is in heaven, he's not going to take you on as a servant necessarily. He's going to bring you in as a son. How marvelous is that? Son. Sons of the living God. How remarkable for us tonight. And he sent out his servants to get all of these things. Remarkable. Remarkable. Brought him in to his household. And he started to have feasting and merriment. And here's what he says. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Remember the £5 note lying in the puddle? It was lost and then it was found again. Well, here is a son far more valuable than any £5 note. And you, let me tell you tonight, you might think you're not very valuable. And maybe in the world scheme of things, none of us are very valuable. But when it comes to God, you're precious. Precious. God wants you tonight, and God wants to save you tonight. And God wants to bring you back to him. And God wants to make you one of his sons. And if you'll only accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you can be a son of the eternal God. Isn't that not remarkable? Isn't that not just wonderful? That the God of heaven should want you and I as sons. And here he is. My son was dead. As far as this father was concerned, he was dead. The Bible talks about us being dead in trespasses and in sins. And you hath he made alive, says the scripture, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And here's the Lord Jesus telling a story. He's telling a story which speaks of a father like his Father in heaven and speaks of people who are rebellious sons and are away from him, just like us. And God wants to bring us back. And God wants to throw his arms around us. And God wants to bring us in as sons. And God wants to save us from our sin. If we'll only accept the Lord Jesus Christ personally as our own Savior for ourselves. We can't do it for anybody else, and nobody else can do it for us. We have to come to God personally and accept him. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Shall we pray?